Okay, here we are. David Maida presents the legendary Steve Hackett on today's show.
I'm only getting part of what you're saying. It's cutting out, which is deeply troubling.
Okay, how about now?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you might have to sort of speak right into the mouthpiece.
Yes, okay, so here we are. Once again, David Maida presents the legendary Steve Hackett. Steve, how are you today?
Very good, thank you. I've been doing a day of interviews, and you are the final one. So very interesting.
Well, this is going to be a great one, and I really appreciate you doing this, Steve. A legend in Prague, one heck of an amazing guitar player who's touched on so many worldwide over many years. So, you know, we're truly looking forward to your three nights. Philadelphia still being, you know, the Prague capital of North America. BRE presents Steve Hackett at the Scottish Rite Auditorium on October 19th, 20th, and 21st. So you'll be in town. I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing the band once again.
Oh, well, I always loved the Scottish Rite. Such a great gig. They've always been such a great crowd. Something about the place, it lives. And I love doing it, so I'm looking forward to it tremendously.
Great. And maybe you could touch base on your current live release and basically the tour, you know, Steve Hackett Genesis Revisited, Foxtrot at 50, plus Hackett Highlights live in Brighton. I've been, you know, listening to it since it came out just a couple of days ago, and the production on it, the sound is really, really, by far, it sounds amazing, and you captured everything perfectly.
I think it's the best of all the live albums I've done. Chris Lord Alge mixed it, and but I think, you know, the band sounded wonderful on the night, and he's managed to capture that. So well done to him. You know, great job.
Great. And the current tour is still the same band with Nad Sylvan, Craig Blundell, Roger King, Rob Townsend, and Jonas Reingold?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all of those guys. That's the band on this tour. Yes.
Great. Absolutely. Great. All the usual suspects. I mean, it's an amazing band, and obviously led by you, covering so much. And obviously, you know, last year was the 50th of Foxtrot, so you're continuing onward. I know your dates commence, I think, in North America on October 3rd, and it goes the first leg to the November 18th, and then there's a second leg that starts next year, right? March 1st to April 9th. Yeah, so you're covering all of North America, which is great.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, and we get to go to the South as well, which would be interesting. I don't know if progressive stuff is really... I guess in the heart of country, how do we handle prog, you know? But it'll be interesting to go to those places and take my wife.
Yeah, I mean, Prague...
That she's not been to, and I haven't been to for quite some time.
Wow, so that should be interesting. And my hunch is it's going to be very successful there. I know you also have, you know, Cruise to the Edge, right? And with some great... You know, you're on it, Marillion, yeah. Adrian Belew, Simon Phillips' Protocol. That's always great. But you speak.
Well, they're all great players, those guys. And I look forward to seeing them again. You know, they're friends of mine, and it's lovely, you know, to be able to see that. And Marillion will be on it as well. So very, very interesting. Whether Yes are going to be on it or not, I don't know. That's the great, the moot point contention that the Cruise to the Edge might be, Well, there'd certainly be enough people to see, I think, that's for sure. And the album Foxtrot of 50 has gone to number 2 in the rock charts here in the UK, so I'm thrilled about that, which is lovely, you know, as it's vintage material that's getting, it's a bit like a Cinderella album, and gets to go to the ball with all the bells and whistles, of course, you know, the tracks that weren't played by Genesis. The Timetable and Kenny Tribute and the Coastline and Horizon, you know, these were things we didn't play the album in its entirety, but I get to do that with my current band, and they play the balls off this stuff, so they're really, really great at doing it, I have to say.
Yes, I mean, they do a fabulous job, and I see, not to jump into next year, but you're going out to do the Genesis Greats and Lamb highlights and solo stuff featuring.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I'll do a few things from the Lamb, not the entire album, but because it's anniversary, I will be doing that. Great.
So again, like you being such, you know, such an innovative guitar player through the years. I mean, along with, you know, other greats like Steve Howe and Steve Rothery and, you know, yourself, Devin Townsend, Robert Fripp, Alan Holdsworth, Lifeson, all these guys. But you're like right up there. I mean, it's hard to believe. Like the first release came out, what, in 71, Nursery Crime, that you were on, right?
That was the first Genesis album, that's right. First Genesis album I was on, and it was the first Genesis album that Phil Collins was on as well. So, yeah, it goes right back to 71 there, So, 50 years plus ago, for sure.
You know, not to be biased, but, you know, the meat and potatoes or fish and chips. I mean, they're if I had to pick like my favorite, it's all the ones that you are on. I'm giving you props, but you know, Nursery Crime, Foxtrot, Selling England by the Pound, The Lamb Lies Down, Trick of the Tail, and then Wind of Wuthering was just amazing. Like the guitar work, the band was just unique in itself. But, you know, obviously you did your first release, in 1975, right? Can you tell us about that first release while you were still in Genesis, right? Voyage of the Acolyte, right?
That's right, I was doing that. I realized that Peter Gabriel was going to leave the band at the end of Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. He was going to fulfill all the gig commitments, but I thought I'd better get going working my own stuff and seeing whether I can make this work on album. I didn't know whether I'd come out with a bunch of outtakes or not. So I was very nervous, and I probably overcompensated for ideas then. And whenever I approach an album now, I don't usually have quite as many ideas typed down before I go into the studio. I tend to write things much more as I go along. Some things are written, other things are put together in that way, but I think Acolyte was probably more through composed than anything I've done before or since, because I was so worried that it might fail, and it did the opposite. I really enjoyed the process of being able to be my own band leader, really, and working with such great talent at the time. It was my brother's debut on record, and he played wonderfully on it. And I think that John Aycock produced it wonderfully, engineered it wonderfully. And also, there were people such as Robin Miller on oboe, who played fantastically. Sally Oldfield, who was Mike Oldfield's sister. It was a great team. Nigel Warren Green had been at school with my brother playing cello. Just a few cello lines, but they were just so beautifully played. He was a fabulous player and just had this extraordinary sound. So I got a chance to indulge my sort of folk leanings, folk meets classical meets rock on that, and the chance to play the mellotron myself. I was a big mellotron fan, so I used to practice this thing, even though I had no idea what people were capable of. I just worked out shapes and how to do chords. But it was an eye-opener. Doing that album was extraordinary. We were working all night doing this stuff. We could only do nighttime sessions because it was recorded in the basement of Government Aviation Building. At the time, it was really owned by, I think, Deep Purple, Ian Gillan. But it was the place where Fleetwood Mac had done some of their early stuff. And Deep Purple had recorded some of their early stuff as well. So, you know, this place wasn't big, it wasn't fancy, but it had parquet flooring in the studio floor, and it was really nice for recording guitars with that. It was a nice whiny sort of sound. So I had a great time doing that album on so little sleep and food and lots of cigarettes and cups of soup. Very unhealthy time, but very inspiring for a young 25-year-old.
Sure, and I assume that you were using your 57 Gibson Goldtop, Paul, and High Watt then, maybe, or Marshall?
I was using, with the Gibson Les Paul. It was an H&H amp I was using at the time. That, and I had a Fender Champ. So between the two, I was making those work. With my Fender Champ, I used to use two Fuzz Bolts in series with each other, and an Echoplex. But surprisingly, it was actually quite a big sound when you had all of those things going through the Fender Champ. So it had a lot of upper harmonic on it, and it's a very good noise. I think preferable to the H&H, in fact.
Yes, and I, again, thanks for, going into great detail, because it's one of my favorite Steve Hackett releases. And I know you had that Please Don't Touch, which you had, Phil Ehart and Steve Walsh of Kansas, Richie Havens.
Yeah.
That was another one that was a favorite of mine. And that, was another great solo release. And basically it set, the trend of what was to come. I mean, you basically just morphed into such a, playing all versatile styles and just continued on with prog, and then right up into Highly Strung in 83, which was a solo release that was totally different. You went to a Fender then, you were playing a Fender at that time?
On some of the tracks I was, yes. I switched to that just for a variation, and I used it in a sort of out of phase position with the pickup. And that gave it the upper harmonic, gave it a certain woodiness. Again, I think, it's got that sort of parquet flooring down to it, which to make the guitar whine. I always wanted a sort of woody, whiny thing. And sometimes I can get it if I'm in the right place. Other times, you create something else.
Sure. And the infamous Gizmotron, correct?
Yes, I did use a bit of Gizmo. Yes, I haven't used one for a long time, but the old one that I had, I haven't used it for decades.
I see. And again, so many, the late Eddie Van Halen talked highly of you, and obviously, legendary Brian May on the two-hand tapping, that you were one of the, you influenced them, especially Eddie on the two-hand tapping, way back,
Yeah.
Which,
tapping was an extraordinary thing, and still is. If you want to play fast and you're tapping, that enables you to play so fast that the notes cannot be heard individually, even if you're hitting them all. You have to slow down the tape to be able to hear what's going on. It's the equivalent of Bruce Lee's moves on the camera, which had to be slowed down, in order to make it
exactly. That's true. You mentioned that the tour will be headed south. Speaking of, in the Philly area, I was just with, I was going to talk just briefly on, the short-lived band GTR, and I was just with Steve Howe backstage last week, and Jeffrey Downs, who produced it, and then 2 days prior to that, I saw a project, and I was with Jonathan Mover, who was the drummer for GTR. Yeah. So I have to talk, I have to mention, When the Heart Rules the Mind. That was a big single here in the States.
Yeah, I mean, When the Heart was the standout song, really, from that. And it became a hit. And it was a hit single. We got a gold album in the States. Very interesting, all that. I did a re-record with Steve Rothery in recent times. Which I like to think sounds very, very good. And that probably deserves to be released on something yet again. I mean, I had it on a box set, but I think maybe on something in the future. It'd be nice to bring that one out again. So throw a full light of day on it,
Great. So again, you know, this Foxtrot at 50 plus Sackett Highlights live in Brighton, I'm sure it's going to sound incredible. All your shows are always just amazing. And this is just a continuation of, like I said, your playing is just, you know, held up through the years. It's almost like you've gotten even better. Like you were a trendsetter and as a prog guitar player, and it's just, you keep evolving, and it's always fun to go to a Steve Hackett concert, and you know, the success is there. All the shows do very well for you. So I'm sure you have to feel good about here, you know, thinking back to 1971 when you first joined, you know, Genesis with Phil, and here you are in 2023, 2024, and you're carrying on and still have a solid band. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm very aware. I've been recording from New South recently, and I am very aware of the passing of the late, great Jeff Beck.
Yes.
And so many times I've thought about, well, what would he do here, you know? And I've laid into some extraordinary moves with the Tremolo arm that I think are in the spirit of, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because obviously, you know, he became the master of being able to do that and just change the approach and work with so many things that the rest of us would just dream of, you know, being able to alter volume and tone and be able to do extraordinary things with the whammy bar. So, you know, he kind of has created a sound canvas for guitarists to explore. He was very, very clever. I met him a few times. Very interesting guy, you know, very much. I think I remember him saying about he thought his job was to come out of the woods with both guns blazing. And it always did, you know, whenever he kicked in with something. There'd be other players and singers and what have you, but then he would suddenly appear on something, and you'd go, well, you know, he's done it again. You know, he's trouncing the opposition. He's doing this extraordinary thing. Wasn't just a regular guitar in his hand. He wasn't content just to let it twang. He's just stretching his cape bridges absolutely to the nth degree. So many of us guitarists of a certain whatever we call it, you know, would say, you know, that Jeff was the guy that we listened to, and I know that the deep applauded from Brian May and from Steve Howe, you know, we all had that conversation, and
yes, John.
You know, it's real. Those early things he did with the Yardbirds still sound wonderful now. You know, whatever he was using, whether it was a fuzz box or a Les Paul or something else, he never sounded less than great.
No, totally, you know, magical, all in the hands, and just, boy, it doesn't, you know, he was just so great. And like you, I had a chance to, you know, meet him in person, and, you know, his legacy carries on, you know. But
oh, absolutely, yeah. Tragic that he died when he was so young and fit and
yes,
unavailable.
Yes.
At the top of his game, always at the top of his game, that guy.
Yes, well, no doubt. But again, you know, we carry on, and, you know, please,
I
wanted to mention, you know, for the Steve Hackett fans out there and fans of early Genesis, you know, please check out www.hackettsongs.com. All the news is there, all the tour dates for, you know, the Americas, the UK dates for next year. It's hackettsongs.com. And, you know, obviously locally, you know, I mentioned earlier, BRE presents, you know, Steve Hackett at the Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood.
I'm looking forward to it tremendously. I love playing that venue.
Yes.
I say it's haunted, but if it is, it's haunted in a very, very good way.
It is. It's a great sounding venue, too. So hearing, you know, Foxtrot at 50 Hackett Highlights live in Brighton is going to be amazing. And please buy, you know, download the release, purchase the release. And I can't thank you enough, Steve. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. I look forward to... Yes.
Thank you so much. I very much enjoyed talking to you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I will see you at one of those dates at the Scottish Rite, and have a great evening.
Brilliant. Thank you, David. All the best to you.
Likewise. Cheers.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Ciao.
Ciao.